Well, hello again. Welcome to TV Tuesday. This is TV Tuesday, where we present an episode of the Jack Benny Show that was presented on television. And you get a chance to hear it here, or you can watch it over on YouTube, and we'll have a link in the show notes that will take you to the YouTube channel where you can watch it and see us chat about it and see the actual episode. Or you can listen to it if you're in your car or whatever, and go ahead and listen. So anyway, without further ado, here is an episode of TV Tuesday.
Hit it, Phil. Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no, it isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time. La, da, da, da.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I am joined with Kathy Fuller Seeley, who has new Jack Benny information, because we had thought that her book would not be out until after Christmas, but you can get it, and it should arrive for Christmas. I've ordered my hard copy. I was frustrated because I have Prime, and I was like, oh, it should be here, and I should be able to hold it up for the podcast, but I looked, and it arrives on the 7th, so that's all right.
Wow.
So I'll have it for next week to share with you folks.
That's fabulous. Yeah. You're apparently going to get yours before I get mine, but maybe I need to order myself a hardback, because Ben Omart, the publisher, pays me. I mean, I get my free books or paperbacks. So, but hooray, a chance for either a Christmas present along with Paul McCartney's lyrics books to be under your Christmas tree, or a New Year's present. So,
yes, a very well done book. Just delightful. And scripts, none of these scripts are available, are they? I mean, all the shows have lost, right? Yeah. So
right.
Crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Last time we had one, the very first episode that I thought was brilliant for her to present, because it was so historic. And then, but this one, every single one will be one that you've never ever heard before and you can't hear. And so,
But readers will enjoy it because it's filled with experimentation, as well as Benny and Harry Kahn, his writer, really start to get their act together. So it starts to sound a bit more like Jack Benny shows. You know, they do their first film parody, which is quite good. Mary takes, although she has some bumps and hiccups on her way, she becomes, by the end of this next 13-week stanza, a real part of the show. And as I said, it's funny and delightful. So
yeah, so wonderful seeing her grow into become a regular character. And then, as you said, the film spoof. Now, are there multiple film spoofs, or is there just one in this volume?
Well, they only did it in the next, they had only started doing it. And so they've done it, they do it, and then they return to it again.
Okay.
In the same way that later they'll keep doing Buck Benny week after week after week. So they're doing it, and their favorite, the character who they will continue to play with in the next 13-week stanza, is Lionel Barrymore's character of Kringleine, the accountant. This old man, if you've ever seen the movie, he's old, and he's been, and he's dying. He's only, but he manages to come into, to steal a whole lot of money from his corrupt employer. And so he's suddenly energized, and he's going to go out on a bang, putting on the town in Paris with Joan Crawford by his side. But they turn that into a fabulous continuing joke on the Benny Show. A Kringleine will just burst into scenes, and he'll just say, I'm Kringleine, and I have 2 minutes to live. So it's marvelous dark humor. So,
oh, nice. Nice. No, I look forward to it for sure. I can't wait to get that in my hands. We also have Terry Phillips with us for the last time in a while. He's taking a little break, and so he'll be gone for a month or a little more. Terry, anything you want to update us on or anything, or be good?
The next episode of Imaginaire Theater is still in progress. I finished writing the first draft. It's a two-parter. It's very long, so it's going to be presented in two parts. And I was debating whether to have part one produced first and then wait until we're finished writing the rest before bringing people back together, or just waiting and doing it all at the same time. My worry is that if I produce part one and then somebody becomes unavailable to finish part two,
yes, that
will put us in a spot. So I'm going to ask listeners to indulge me until we finish. I hope that while I'm traveling, that I'll be able to finish the rewrite. And then when I get back sometime in January, that we'll produce the whole thing.
Fantastic.
Which means that it's possible that before the end of January of 2022, that the last episode of season one, or we'll call it the first episode of season two, anyway, that next episode will be ready to go.
Now, how many episodes do you have so far produced?
That's seven in the can. So this will be number eight, or eight and nine, if you want to break it into two episodes. I also want to say how grateful I have been to listeners without much prompting on my part, who have contributed to our really small fundraising efforts. I'm hoping the other thing that I'm planning to do after we finish this next episode is to develop more of a business plan so that we can start paying the actors. That's a high priority for me. They've been really great. They're all doing this without compensation. But I would like to, not just to pay the actors, but I would also like to ramp this up in much the same way that you have, Buck, with a more stable and reliable distribution and promotion, you know, to turn it into a proper enterprise.
Well, right now it's just, and you're never going to get the quality of people coming back to you like you guys. If I didn't pay you anything, would you ever show up? I don't know. I mean, the hundreds of thousands of dollars that I have flowing out to you folks is just.
I want to tell you, I could not.
You keep haven't up got your check yet? What are you talking about?
Could not keep up the payments on my yacht without the
money from this. I guess I get paid in Jack. That's
great,
funny jokes. That's the only
Jack
I'm gonna get
that's
out
right.
of it, so.
That's right. We're all gratis here, folks. It's the way we are. But no, but I think Terry, the work you're doing is fabulous. And thank I you. Was just thinking, for someone who hasn't tuned into Imaginary Theater, they could listen to about a show a week from now until, and right about the time they're done with the last one, you'll probably will be about that time having the next one ready to go. So yeah. So that would be great for them to, and what a wonderful thing to sink into would be that, to sink into your series. I think it'd be great.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Question. I'll delete this part. If your answer is no, what if I presented them your shows once a week up from now until, you know, almost till you get back, would that be an okay thing to me to do on my podcast?
Sure. Okay. How could I say no to that?
Okay. Because I figure, you know, it's
absolutely, absolutely
4,000 or more people that maybe haven't heard it. I don't know.
Great.
I know some of my listeners have tuned in across and gone there, and that's right. Great. But I know some of them probably haven't. So, yeah.
And you know, without assuming too much here, I believe they will all hold up over time, even though some of these were written to be somewhat timely. I my hope is that they'll hold up over time.
Well, I think so. I think they all hold up really, really well. And I think there's such a diversity there of subjects and things and genres that I think it's a fun thing to present. So I'd love to do that. So
great. Thank you very much. I can
definitely do that. So, because they've already heard, like we did that with one of yours, I think we presented the Western or something.
I think that's right.
Yeah. But that's been a while. And so I think we'll just go through from the first one and just work our way through. And cool. By the time we're done, hopefully you'll be ready for another episode.
I'll try to tune in while I'm traveling.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe I'll do really poor intros to them. I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, you kind of do intros to them automatically built in anyway.
Hey, if you don't do well, I'll fire you and hire John.
There you go. You don't have to pay me. There you go.
I'll pay John twice as much as I'm paying you.
That's great. And we also have a John here from John Henderson from This Day in Jack Benny. And anything new going on with This Day in Jack Benny, or any new news for you this week before
you? Yeah, well, actually, in addition to This Day in Jack Benny, I've got a couple other old time radio show podcasts. So I just, after a hiatus, I just restarted a Theater of Thrills, which is all those spooky old radio shows. And I have a bit of fun doing a silly intro to those. So that's lots of fun. And then I also have a podcast called Bible Broadcasts. And so we're just starting the Christmas episodes. So in addition to you know, the story of Christmas. There's also a bunch of Christmas carols, which everybody knows and loves, all from old time radio shows. So it's been a lot of fun getting those ready and all that.
Is Christmas a big time of year in the Bible, or?
Yeah, I think there's somebody, some birthday, I think.
Something early going on, yeah. Okay, that's fantastic, John. All right, well, let's get into this episode. This week, I grabbed it for a reason. We did a recreation recently, and in the recreation, Jack talks about some upcoming projects he has, some things going on. He says he's going to be on the Frank Sinatra television show, and he says that he's going to have a roast that's going to be about him. I have the roast, so we'll be presenting that at some point. It's just the audio, of course. And who knows, I'll talk to my team and we might even do an intro for it, or I'll just do an intro. And then the other piece we have is we do have the Frank. I knew as soon as he mentioned it, I was like, I've seen that. I've seen the Frank Sinatra special. And I was like, I did not know what the time frame was. And I had originally thought, okay, it's the 1950s with Jack Benny as a guest. It's probably 54, 55 or something like that. But it was 51. Crazy. And so this is really early. And it made sense. When I watched it again, I was going, oh my gosh, yeah, I should have recognized, because Frank Sinatra, he's such an interesting guy. He had two distinct looks. I mean, did people age all differently? Some people look the same. I mean, if you saw me as a baby and you saw me now, you'd go, oh, that's the same guy. I mean, he never changes. In fact, he's looking more babyish all the time and losing his hair. But anyway, but Frank had two distinct looks, I feel like. He had this really thin look of a young guy with a lot of hair and the whole thing, and his teeny bopper sort of look. And he had that from the early 40s when he first appeared all the way up until about this time, 51-ish sort of. He still looks like young Frank Sinatra, but by 54, 55, he's going to look completely different, like a older Sinatra, that whole look that he keeps the rest of his life, kind of puts on a little more weight and things, and just has a hair change, the whole thing. And it's just interesting to see how quick that change would happen. I didn't realize that even in 51, he would look like this. So you have a chance for a real young Sinatra in this. And Jack appears, and we'll get into it. So why don't we start off with John, since we're chatting back and forth anyway. What did you think, John, of this episode, and what stood out to you? And go ahead.
In general, I thought this was great. I loved the whole episode. I'll work backwards. So it ends with...
Well, can I interrupt for a second?
Oh, sure.
I will say, if John had not gotten back to me, we would have talked about the first 13 minutes of the episode, and that's it, because it was broken into three parts and I joined them all together, but I sent out the wrong copy to these guys. So hopefully they've all watched the whole hour and not just the first 13 minutes. But anyway, back to John.
Yeah. Well, those are a great 13 minutes, but yeah. I'm going to start with the end, because when I was a youngster, I had a set of cassette tapes with old-time radio shows on them. And one of them had a radio show that played the soundtrack to The House I Live In as part of a different program. So I was quite familiar with that. I probably heard it, you know, 20 times, right? And me and my brother would always laugh because he's talking about intolerance and then he says those dirty Japs, you know? So like, what is this? And I did, at that time, I was not that familiar with even Frank Sinatra or anything like that. So it was interesting because I knew that so well to watch it. And I was like, something's not right. And it was only when he came out at the end and was wearing that jacket that I realized this was not a clip from the film. They recreated it on the studio doing a live version. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because it's, you know, obviously they're using the same script, but they're doing it live. So I thought that was really interesting. Before that, Frank Sinatra mentions some comedians that he calls physical comedians, you know, Jackie Gleason, Dean Martin, and Jerry Lewis, and Red Skelton, who I don't think many people have forgotten. They're not that obscure at this time. But I don't really think of them really as physical comedians. This guest, what's his name? Larry Griswold?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
The physical comedian. I did not know who this guy was or what was going to happen, but those like those Pratt Falls, like, it's amazing that the falls look so real, and yet obviously they're so controlled. It was really impressive and hilarious. So I thought that was awesome. But as a Jack Benny fan, my favorite parts, of course, was the Jack Benny parts, the opening. I thought it was so funny. And for people who are not as deep Jack Benny fans as I am, LSMFT stands for Lucky Strike Means Fine Tobacco, which was Jack Benny's sponsor. So
there you go. Yeah. you're trying to bring him back. That's good. Kathy, what were your thoughts on this one?
Well, I'm so grateful to have been able to see this show because I find that Jack's first television episode, which was in October 1950, and we're sure this is the next year, October 51. We're pretty okay. It's because we don't have access to a kinescope of Jack's second television show, which would have Frank Sinatra on it. But the difference in pacing, I thought this was fascinating. And I find Jack's first television show to be kind of very ambitious, overblown, stage bound, and kind of slow. As much of his early television work is kind of slow. He comes out on the stage and he talks a bit, and then they go do a skit. And so I was really impressed by the quicker pacing of this show. That reminds me of what Benny's show television shows would be like in a couple seasons.
Well, I think we can place this exactly, Kathy, because I believe Jack had done exactly 5 episodes of his show. He'd done the first 4 from the first season,
okay,
and he'd done his opening episode that exists,
yeah.
I mean, that we can watch, which was the one with the hillbilly sketch, which is the first episode of the second season. Yeah. And then this happened right after that, before he got to his second episode of the season.
I was both impressed by the quicker pace, and I wanted to say to Jack's producers, get a quicker pace. It's better. But I was also really impressed by the staging that Jack and especially in the opening, that so much of it is meant for a little tiny box square television that you see, Jack standing very close to Frank, instead of the sort of wider, we're going to fill the whole proscenium arch, how they did the Benny shows. So I like that. And I was very amused by when Frank goes to sing his first song about Christmas, that he takes his suit jacket and butts it up at the top. And it looked really stupid. And I enjoyed laughing.
And that set with a winter wonderland. That was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was amazed. I didn't realize that Frank Sinatra had his own show at this point in time. And so this was
it was a weekly show, which was an awful lot. An hour weekly show.
Yeah.
So many early performers burn themselves out.
Right.
So I could see how they're trying to make it very much a variety show. Mm-hmm. Somebody sings, somebody does a skit, somebody else sings. But that was an awful lot to produce live back in the day.
It was well done. Yeah, it seemed like I would have accepted this as a once a year special or something. That it seemed that good.
Weekly is.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I'll look through and see if there's other episodes that exist that I can look through, because it'd be interesting to see if they keep up this caliber, if this was an anomaly or anything. Terry, what were your thoughts on it?
There was an awful lot going on here. I'll just start going down my list of notes.
You go down your list.
Jack says in the opening that people call him the Maury Amsterdam of the West Coast. West Coast, of course, because Jack's show originated in L.A. And Maury Amsterdam, for those who never watched the Dick Van Dyke Show, was one of the great stand-up comics of the 1950s and 60s, but then played a regular role on the Dick Van Dyke Show. Jack happened to be on the East Coast for a Friars Club testimonial. That's why he was available to do the show with Sinatra. And then during the program, Sinatra mentions that next week he's going to be out on the coast, referring to the West Coast. And in an earlier conversation that we had on another podcast, there was a reference to Leo DeRocher, and I think Leo DeRocher was going to be, I think he said, his guest on that next episode. Somebody, I think it was Jack Benny, made reference to John Foster Dulles, that, you know, he's a comedian, he's not John Foster Dulles. John Foster Dulles was a very serious American politician who would go on to become Secretary of State. But he was certainly not known for his sense of humor. I thought it was wonderful how Jack's ad libs cracked up Frank Sinatra. And this was clearly not scripted, and it was fun to watch.
Well, and Jack's known for his ad libbing. I mean, that's
correct.
That's correct. Bread and butter.
And
he was trying to teach Fred Allen for years how to act. Fred could never catch on. It was just amazing.
I hear a Hungarian dinner might be in the offing.
And John, Larry Griswold was a renowned comic acrobat. I remember seeing him on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Really?
He really did get hurt late in his career, and that's what ended his career. But he was just amazing, just amazing. I was also very impressed by the young violinist, Charles Castleman. Yes. I thought he was not just obviously a very talented violinist, but really, really funny. I don't know how much of that was directed, but he...
And really patient with Jack posing him and all these different things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I noticed an uncredited featured player in the wedding sketch. You could remember him if you were, as I am, a fan of Barney Miller, and because he had two different roles in four episodes. And the actor's name, he played the father of the bride in the wedding sketch, and the actor's name is Harold Stone. And another conversation that we will have about Jack Benny, we'll talk about Jack Sue, who was also, of course, a regular in Barney Miller. So I did not know that, I did not expect to see Harold Stone in this. And then,
well, Kathy, that's why I picked it. I wanted a Barney Miller day, and so we thought
we'd. Well, you pulled that off. And then Kathy is, as you mentioned, and John, as you mentioned, there was the House I Live In sketch at the very end, which was written by the great American playwright Albert Maltz, who would become
blacklist.
Yeah, he wasn't yet part of the Hollywood 10 in 1951. I think that was after.
Well, they wouldn't have played this if he was part of the Hollywood 10.
That's right. Of course, he wouldn't have been allowed to be on the network. Mm-hmm. I thought it was also interesting, if I remember correctly, that Jack makes reference to the fact that this was 2 days after Armistice Day, or 2 days after Veterans Day. So that confirms the date. This was November 13th, 1951. And just overall, as I said, just a jam-packed television program. It was just amazing. Did I correctly see Artie Auerbach as one of the writers listed, credited?
Artie Auerbach, I don't think it's our Artie Auerbach. I think two of them, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Artie Auerbach was definitely positively a writer on the Fred Allen Show. And so I see his name pop up on old-time radio as a writer.
Was a photographer.
Correct. So, unless our Artie Auerbach, who is, of course, Mr. Kitzel,
right,
was a photographer and a very good photographer. Was he also a writer? Maybe. I mean, that seems like
I don't know. Really, I saw the name. I didn't pursue it, but
I just always assumed they were two separate people, because at first I thought because I listened for him on like the Fred Allen Show, going, well, he must be on here if he's a writer for it or whatever. But he never was. And then it just seemed, I don't know, it just seemed, it seems really out of place to have a guy that's that much of a character that pops up through time on multiple radio shows and everything, and to be a writer as well, maybe. I don't know.
And Kathy, I agree with you, by the way. The pacing of this show was decidedly in contrast with Jack Benny's, but that has to do in no small part with the different writers and of course, a different director. Yeah. Freddie DeCordova had his... You know, his deliberate style. And I can't remember who directed this, but it was obviously a different take on how to do television. And it was wonderful. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it as well. Well, I think we'll leave this one there and let the folks enjoy the episode, which is fantastic. I think this is going to be, I think this will be the only place it's on YouTube as an entire episode. I think every place else is broken into three chunks. I don't know why folks do that as much, but I like to have it all put together. So there you go. Enjoy it, and we will see you for more Jack Benny in the future.
The Frank Sinatra Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is the star of our show, Frank Sinatra.
I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not Frank Sinatra.
Wait it again.
Although I must say that we do resemble each other quite a bit. I mean, we're about the same height and our eyes are blue. That is, mine are bluer than his. His are sort of a pale blue and mine are more of a blue surge. You see what I'm saying? And of course, I'm a little bit heavier than Frankie. But then who isn't, you see? But ladies and gentlemen, I did my own first TV show a week ago last Sunday. I started my season. And I, thank you very much. And I was such a big hit that I'm now known as the Maury Amsterdam of the Pacific Coast. And of course, the reason I'm here tonight with Frankie, you see, Frank did a guest shot on my television show last year when I was in New York, you see, and I didn't pay him for it, you know, we're pretty good friends, and I didn't want to insult him, you see, by paying him, and I understand that tonight he's not insulting me either. You know, a friendship like that can break both of us, you know. But another reason that I'm in New York is because last Friday, you probably read this in the paper, last Friday, the Friars Club gave me a testimonial dinner because of my... thank you. Because of my 20 years in radio, you see. And not only that, but also because I've been a member of the Friars Club, a theatrical organization, for a long time, you see. And as a matter of fact, in Hollywood, I'm an officer of the Friars Club. I'm known as the dean, and that's a very, very important executive position. I would say that the dean of the Friars Club is comparable to a photographer on Reader's Digest. But anyway, it really is a great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to be here. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. It's a great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen.
Say, Jack.
Pardon me. Oh, hello, Frank. It's a great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to be here tonight.
What? Jack, you know, you were only supposed to introduce me and then tell a few jokes and then introduce me, you know.
Oh. Well, you see, Frank, I got to talking about myself, and I'm sort of carried away, you know, how you get like that, you see. But what are we supposed to do right now?
Well, we usually do a song right about here.
We do. Mm. Well, unfortunately, I don't sing. I don't know.
I know, Jack, but I'm supposed to sing a song here tonight.
Oh, you're going to do the song, I see. Well, all right. I mean, on my show, we had a half hour. I got about 3 seconds so far.
Snowing, the wind is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm?
I got my love to keep me warm. I can't remember a worse December. You just watch those icicles fall. What do I care how the icicles form? I got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat, off with my gloves. I need no overcoat, I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire with one desire, so I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat, oh, hot. Off with my glove, I need no overcoat, I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire with one desire, so I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? Look at here now, I got my love to keep me warm. On behalf of our sponsor, I would like to say that we had a wonderful time since we've been here. Yeah.
Frankie, just a minute. This is the only thing, there's only one thing that bothers me on this show.
What's that, Jack?
Well, you're mentioning the sponsors.
Yeah.
After all, I'm for one sponsor, you work for another.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ask first whether there's any friction, you see
oh,
what
conflict?
I mean, between conflict, between the two.
Oh, no, Jack, you
friction
shouldn't worry about that,
conflict.
No.
You don't have to correct me, you know.
No, look, Jack, the product...
My English is good as yours, at least.
Jack, the product... The product is entirely different, Jack.
Oh.
I mean, we're on for Echoware.
Echoware. Well, what's that?
That's a little echo we have here on our show, and he stays on the ball every week when he hears this kind of thing go on. I wonder what keeps him so sharp all the time.
Flint knives. Yeah, it's kind of cute. That's sort of an echo.
Like that, huh?
I say, yeah, it's cute.
Whenever we mention the product,
that's
he
right.
repeats it.
LSMFT. LSMFT. Echo. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Be happy by Echo. Be happy by Echo Strike. Be happy by Echo. By Echo Strike today.
All right, look at that.
I've been smoking Echo Air for now.
Oh, all righty. Well, that's enough.
All right, let's forget about the echo business again. Now, Jack, what did you plan to do for us tonight?
Well, I don't know. I thought, as a guest, it'd be nice if I came out, you know, and told jokes like I did before, you see.
You think that's smart?
Look, Frank, I'm a comedian, you know. After all, you didn't hire John Foster Dulles here.
Well, Jack, what I mean is today the trend is much different than it's ever been. I mean, the comedians are more physical, like Jackie Gleason and Martin Lewis and Red Skelton. They bounce up and down, they take falls, and they're always going, you know. It's very physical.
Well, I have the same system, you see,
mm-hmm.
at home when I do my television shows, although I have it worked out where I stand perfectly still, you see, and the camera moves up and down, you see. In that way, the cameraman makes more money, and I last longer, you see?
No, I'm very serious, Jack. I mean, you gotta take this seriously. You can't get by anymore on television with just talk. I mean, when you tell a story,
you mean you just
a
can't
joke,
tell a straight joke.
You can't
it?
Tell a joke. When you do it on television, it's got to be acted out. Now, look, I'll show you what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys, they met at an Elks convention, see? Sam and Max. And they meet, and they say, they went to the bar, and Sam says...
Funny, at rehearsal, it was Harry.
Sam and Harry. And Sam walks up and he says, "Hello, Harry, how are you?" See? He says, "What do you know?" He says, "Say, are you a large member?" And the other fellow says, "No, I'm just average size." And he says, "Well, away you go."
Do you still make records?
Yes, of course I do.
Good, good.
Now, Jack.
What?
I think, though, seriously, maybe you ought to get started by announcing. So, like, maybe...
You mean to be sort of a master of ceremony? Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I would like to do on the show, Frank, because that's what I've done all my life, even before radio.
All right.
I was a master of ceremonies. Now, who would you like me to introduce first?
June Hutton.
June Hutton, I see. All right. Now, what would you want me to say about her? I mean, you know much more about her than
I. Well, when introducing June Hutton, I would say something like, ladies and gentlemen, we're very fortunate tonight having with us a young lady who has provided us with many, many pleasant vocal moments from show to show. And I hope she continues to do so in the future. And this young lady is not only gifted with a beautiful voice, but she has charm. She's lovely, and she's always welcome on our show. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're very proud to present to you June Hutton.
You do something to me. Simply mystifies me. Tell me, why should it be? You have the power to hypnotize me. Let me live beneath your spell. You do that, who do that? You so well, for you do something to me that nobody else could do. You do something to me, something that simply mystifies me. Tell me, why should it be? You have the power to hypnotize me. Let me live beneath your spell. You do that, who do that? You do so well. For you do something to me that nobody else could do.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, Jack wasn't kidding before. He's had a lot to do since he came to town with a friar's dinner and his own television show and a lot of stuff that he's been working. So he's a little tired now. This being an hour show, he's up resting in his room. I have to go up and bring him a cup of hot milk in a little while. Meantime, I'd like to introduce a man who is probably one of the greatest artists in this field. Ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful Larry Griswold.
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Sinatra, but Larry is unable to make it over here tonight, you see. He was out celebrating again, and he's in no condition to die.
Well, what do you mean he can't make it? What are we going
to
do about it?
To my whole family. I'm Larry's father.
Oh.
I've known him ever since he was a little boy. Look, I taught him all the dives. I'll run up and do a couple of dives so you won't disappoint your people.
No, wait a minute.
Don't worry.
Can you do this? You
of course,
right?
I keep myself in good shape doing athletics down at the gymnasium at the YWMCA. Don't worry about it.
You worry about me. I've been a lot higher than this a lot of times.
Hey, but watch who you're pushing around. I don't mind anyone shoveling, but don't push me. Shovel,
look. First, I better try out the board for spring.
Oh, no! Oh, the bugle here. That's the hypotenuse. I missed my step. Well, I'll start off with a swan dive and then lead up to the more complicated maneuvers. Oh, that's my tie. Well, can't I have clothes on? Boy, that scared me too. Someone evidently left the gate open. Look, I'll start off with a back jackknife, which is one dive I can do on it. You know, in all dives, you've got to concentrate on just two things. Control. That's both of them. Well, never give up and never say die, I always. Give the preliminary dive. We'll start right off with a full twisting one and one half. First, the full twist. Boy, am I cool. Oh, slippery board. Should have taken my shoes off. Board slippery. Keep them together, I gotta learn. Well, here, oh boy, look at that. Oh, Richard. Last pair of nylons. You know, I don't want to go in with my watch on. Wouldn't want to get that baby wet. I almost forgot to put on my diving cap. Can't stand water in my ears when I dive.
We have another very unusual artist with us tonight, although he's just a 10-year-old boy. He's been acclaimed everywhere as one of the outstanding violin virtuosos of our time. His recent appearance at Carnegie Hall has won much praise, high praise, from all the critics. Ladies and gentlemen, Master Charles Castleman. Here you are, sir. Here you are, boy.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. For my first selection tonight, I would like to play the Ukrainian Fantasy by Winyalsky Andruchev.
Did you see Mr. Sinatra in this?
Oh, yes, he went out that way.
Oh, he did. Oh, thank you. Oh, pardon me. So, you play the violin, do you?
Yes, sir.
Do you practice?
No, sir.
You don't practice? Well, you'll certainly never get anywhere if you don't practice. After practice, you see, if you want to be good, you know, and these are the important years, you know. I remember when I was your age.
You do?
Yes, I used to practice every day, and that's how I became a very, very fine violinist. You're going to play a number now, are you? You might, let me see how you hold the bow and everything. you'll never get anywhere that way. Let me show you. You see, in the first place, the way you're holding the bow, you see, it could slip right out of your hands, don't you see? You must hold the bow like this. You see what I mean? stiff like this. This is called the Western grip. You see what I mean? See, then it'll never get away. Now, your chin, how do you put the violin under your... No, you must rest it a little bit. You see what I mean? A little bit like more, and hold this like this. You see what I mean? This keeps you from slicing. You see in this thing? And keep one foot out, just a little bit. One out, one leg out a little bit. Oh, wait a minute. We'll keep the... You gotta keep the leg out just a little bit like this. There you are, you see? This way you want... Now, this is the way to play a violin number. Now, let me hear you play a number now. Listen. Go ahead, let's hear it. Go ahead. You know, Sinatra's supposed to come out
here
now,
I am,
but
Jack.
He forgot his cue altogether. Oh, fuck, man.
What are you doing, Jack?
Huh? Well, I'm just giving the kid a few pointers, I think.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Jack, did you ever hear of the concert violinist Charles Castleman?
Charles Castleman, yes. We went to school together.
Oh, really?
In fact, I taught him everything he knew, you know.
Yeah. But, Jack, this is Charles Castleman.
Oh. Well, the Charles Castleman I think of, I'm thinking of, had a trio in Waukegan. There was a violin, an organ, and a monkey. You see what I mean? The monkey now has his own band. It's called Spike Jones.
Jack, let's get out for a while. We'll let Charles Castleman play this.
Okay.
Fiddle, huh?
I still think he hasn't got his legs right. I don't know. This thing.
Carnegie, yet once you you hear it play, you'll never forget. I wrote it just for you, with a feeling from within. For no one else but you could make such music begin. Is a love song from the sky, and when you hear my song, you'll hear my heart. Is a love song from the start, and when you hear my song, you'll hear my heart.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, it's tea time. You see, we feel that they're building another bungalow back there. We feel that it's a halfway mark in our show at this point. A football team gets time off between halves, so I don't see why we shouldn't. I look like a football team. Well, what are you going to do? You know, this is our last show from New York City. Starting next week, our program will originate from Hollywood, the land of the sunshine. Sunshine! Hey. I understand, Len, one day last week, they had 8 inches of sunshine out there. But I'm looking forward to the trip back because we're planning to fly the southern route. See, when the plane flies over Washington, I want to wave goodbye to some of the money that we're leaving back. You know, I found out recently that there's a trick to this, you see. I mean, guys like Harry Richman, Georgie Price, Hope and Crosby, they got sidelines, side rackets. Crosby's got an orange juice business. Hope has oil wells. I got a trunk full of old bow ties. And speaking of money, our guest tonight is not exactly destitute himself. You know, Jack goes around and he tells everybody that he has something put aside for a rainy day. It could pour for 40 years. And he'd still be drier than a cow in a Kansas dust bowl. There's a bad joke. Well, what are you going to do? And it was such a long time getting around to a bad joke like that. Of course, there are other things in life besides money. But it takes money to get them. You know, it makes you a little nervous. Anyway, it'll be nice getting back to the coast for a change. I mean, last season we did all our shows from here and a few this year, and I think that our New York fan club deserves a rest. You see? Down, Spotty. Matter of fact, we got a note from our Hollywood branch, and they're raring to go. They've been practicing by getting autographs from Champ Butler or a couple of those boys out there. See, they stay in practice. You know, it's amazing how wonderful these kids are, really. They wait around, like, for instance, on a pouring rainy day. They wait for 6 hours for an autograph, and finally, when they get up real close to you, some little guy looks, he says, "Ah, this guy's nothing." You know, 9 chances out of 10, he's right. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to wait outside of stage doors. I don't want to give anybody's age away, but when I was a kid, I used to wait for Crosby's autograph. I'll never forget one day I said, "You know, I have aspirations of being a singer." And he said something very nice, very encouraging to me. He said, "You keep singing, kid. Someday you may be another Rudy Valley." Oh. What are you going to do, Pop? I can't help it. You'll have to excuse me. I'm a little bit... I haven't been well. I was up a little late last night. Jack Benny invited me to a party.
Party?
I should have known what kind of an affair it would be when he brought his fiddle along. He told me that they were very, very dear friends of his and it was going to be a lot of fun. It was some little place over in Jackson Heights, and it's called the banquet room of Kozlenko's Bar and Grill. It's in the back, you know, where they have the weddings. And it's on Queens Boulevard, right next door to Zabriskie's Bowling Alley. And Jimmy Prosser's a saloon over there where Gleason hangs out. Well, when we got there... We got there, the party was on the way, and you should have seen the ball that they were having. I gotta move the stool now.
I don't hear you. That bowling alley next door makes so much noise. Now, what is it, my little one?
Well, Papa, what's the matter with the band? Are we going to have a fiddle player?
Sure, I hired one. He's late. He should be here 15 minutes ago already.
Well, who did you get, Papa?
His name is Jack Benny. He's the same fellow who played at Mama and Mine wedding.
Is he real good?
One of the best. You think I spend $12 a night for just anybody?
Papa, $12 for just a fiddle player?
Well, out of this he has to pay a singer who he's bringing with him.
Hey, this looks like fun, Jack.
Yeah.
How about that? We're gonna have a ball, aren't we?
Yeah, she's kind of cute, isn't she?
Yeah.
I wonder if she's got a friend.
I doubt it very much.
What was that joke about the Kansas Dust Bowl?
That was before her.
Oh. Hey, there's our host, Pulaski. Hey, Mr. Pulaski. Hello.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny.
I want you to meet Mr. Sinatra.
How do you do?
I thought you were going to bring a singer.
Well, he is a singer.
That skinny little thing?
Well, I mean, everybody can't be a Lanza. Don't forget, listen, he's wonderful, Mr. Pulaski, really. You know, I wouldn't jeopardize my reputation. After all, someday your daughter will have children. When they get married, I want their business, too, you know.
Well, maybe you're right. Oh, and remember another thing. The musicians only get 2 sandwiches apiece.
There's no limit on the coleslaw and the pickles, though.
Oh, coleslaw, pickles, all you want.
Hey, Jack.
What?
Jack, what's going on here?
Well, Mr. Pulaski, you know, as long as we came over as guests, he wanted to know if I'd play a violin solo, and maybe you'd sing a song for him.
Oh, no, Jack, I'm rather tired. I don't want
to... What? You know, sing?
Listen, for 2 sandwiches? I'll give you 3 sandwiches. What's it? I'll give you one of mine, you know.
All right.
What is that?
That's a bowling alley.
Oh, that's the Brisky's bowling alley next door. I played for his wedding.
Oh, you know him too?
Yeah. I brought Lanny Ross with me that time.
You know, I guess I'm not as healthy as I think I am.
What do you mean?
That's the second time that vulture came down to take a look at me.
Well, look, let's congratulate the bride.
Yeah,
huh?
That's a good idea, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks very much.
Say, Jack. Jack, what is this bit they're doing here?
Well, you see, at Polish weddings, Frank, you see, they never give gifts. They always give money. See,
oh,
they
really?
Send a money and envelope.
Say, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think I'll contribute something to the bride. I think that's a wonderful idea. Thank you very much, and good luck with
you
both.
Thank you very much.
Jack, what about you?
Well, I thought I'd wait till I get home and give them for my own personal stationery.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It'll be... Well, congratulations, Miss... Miss...
Oh, Louise Stella Marie Frances Toplitsky.
Say, Jack, by some strange coincidence, those initials spell L-S-M-F-T.
Good coincidence. My sponsor arranged it, the whole thing. Be happy, go lucky.
Oh, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Listen, do you want to dance? If you want to dance, I'll watch the money.
I'll watch the money. You dance.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
I didn't hire you to dance. I hired you to play.
Oh. Well, all right. But you know, when the music starts, I can't make my feet behave. Really, I can't.
And tell that singer I want to hear him sing.
Frankie, wait a minute.
Yeah, Jack.
Well, I would like to hear you sing a song. After all, you know, how many times do they get a fellow like Sinatra here? Well, why don't you sing a song for him?
Well, saying as you put it that way, okay, let's do a song. You get the violin. What do you want to do, Jack?
Huh?
What do you want to do?
Come on, we'll play.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
Ready, like to sing a song for you.
Roll out the barrel, we'll have a barrel of woe. Roll out.
Stop! 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 You call that music?
What are you talking about? We just nearly got killed. We nearly had an accident here with a bowling ball came in there.
That was no accident. They aimed at you. You're both through. Here's your $9.
Wait a minute. You promised me $12. Three for the singer.
Jack, how could you do such a thing? Inviting me over here and telling me it was a party and then selling me out for $3.
Frank, I tried to get you five, but he wouldn't buy.
Well, you're both fired. Take your $9 and out!
Okay. I'm sorry, Frank. That was the best I could do.
That's all right. Well, let's get out of here.
Okay, come on. Let's go.
Gee,
wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. They promised us the sandwiches. And they said there was no limit to the coleslaw and the pickle.
I would gather stars out of the blue for you, for you. I would make a string of pearls out of the dew for you, for you. Over the highway and over the street, carpets of clover, I'll lay at your feet. There's nothing in this world I would not do for you, just for you. Over the highway and over the street, carpets of clover, I'm gonna lay at your feet. There is nothing in this world I would not do, baby, for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sunday was a very significant date, and we don't want to pass it without saying something about Armistice Day, particularly in view of what's going on in the world today. Back in 1918, Armistice Day meant the end of a war,
but it has come to mean a lot more than that. It's a symbol of the things this country has always fought for. Freedom, equality, and our way of life. A few years ago in Hollywood, Frank Sinatra made a picture that pretty well expresses all of these things. The picture was called The House I Live In. And anything it had to say then, it still has to say right now. Ladies and gentlemen, The House I Live In.
Now, come on, stop that. Looks like somebody's in for a licking, huh?
You bet! We're gonna smear him!
All right, wait a minute. Back up now. Steady. It's all right, but six against one. That's not very fair, is it?
Oh, come on, gang.
What's the matter, you? What's it all about?
No, I'm not scared. I'll fight you even.
Well, not if I can help it. You look like you can take care of yourself. I just want to know what the gang war is for.
We don't like them. We don't want them in our neighborhood. Or going to our schools. See? I've been living here as long as you. Since I was born, even.
Yeah. Come on now. Now, let's cut it out. I'm serious. What's the matter? Has he got smallpox?
We don't like his religion.
His religion?
Yeah, he's a dirty...
Yeah, wait a minute. Oh, I think I'm beginning to understand this thing. Yeah, it must be one of those Rat Pack gangs I've read about in the papers who beat up on people.
Mister, we ain't no Rat Pack.
Well, you ain't regular guys, for sure, I can tell you that. I don't know what you're to do about this. You must be pretty tough, huh?
You bet.
What about your dad? What kind of a man is he? What would he say about this?
My pop's so tough, he'd smear you.
He would, huh? He's a pretty tough guy, huh?
You bet. He's a sergeant in the army. He was wounded in Korea.
Oh, he was wounded, huh? Say, I'll bet he got some of that blood plasma that you've been reading about, the Red Cross.
You bet. It was hurt so bad, he had to get it six times. He told me even.
Six times, huh? Son, anybody in your family ever go to the blood bank?
My mother and father both.
Hey, it's pretty serious. You know, it could be that his father's blood helped save your dad's life. That's pretty bad, isn't it?
What's bad about it?
Well, don't you see? His father doesn't go to the same church as your father. Now, you think maybe your dad would rather have died than to take blood from a man of another religion? Would you have wanted him to die, or your mom?
No.
Well, don't you understand, fellas? Religion doesn't make any real difference. God created everybody. God didn't create one people better than another. And people worship God in different ways all over the world. Many, many different ways. Now, my father came from Italy, but I'm an American. But should I hate you because your dad came from Ireland or Sweden or Holland? Now, wouldn't I be a fathead? You guys, by chance, remember anything about Pearl Harbor? You ever read about it or hear about it?
You bet I did. My Uncle Mike was in the Navy.
Oh, he was. Now, did he ever tell you about a battleship, Jap battleship called the Haruna?
No.
Let me see if I can remember. It seems that the Haruna was raising the dickens with our boys, and one day one of our planes sighted it and got right over it. And you know what it takes to bomb a battleship, fellas? It takes teamwork and a lot of guts and know-how. And one of our planes got over it and dropped a big 500-pound bomb right smack in the middle of it. And everybody in the United States kind of threw their head back and felt a lot better about that. Now, the pilot of that airplane was Colin Kelly. He was an American and a Presbyterian. You know who dropped the bombs? A boy from Brooklyn named Meyer Levin, an American and a Jew. Now, do you think maybe they should have called off the whole bombing raid because they weren't of the same religion? Do you? Of course not. Don't be silly. And don't let anybody make suckers out of you. Use your good heads. And let's have no more of this fighting. Well, I'll see you around. I got to go to work.
What do you work?
I sing.
Oh, you're a kid.
I'll tell you what. You just stand right here and no hissing allowed.
America to me, a name, a map, or a flag I see, a certain word, democracy. What is America
me. The house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races and religion, that's America to me. The place I work in, the worker by my side, the little town or city where my people lived and died, the howdy and the handshake, the air of feeling free, and the right to speak my mind out, that's America to me. The things I see about me, the big things and the small, the little corner newsstand and the house a mile tall, the wedding and the churchyard, the laughter and the tears, and the dream that's been a-growing for 160 years. The town I live in, the street, the house, the room, the pavement of the city, or a garden all in bloom, the church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see, but especially people, that's America to me.
Well, I'll see you around, boys. Bye now. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That's a fine piece of material. I wouldn't mind doing that every week. It's such a great piece of material. I'd like to thank Jack Benny for doing such a wonderful job for us tonight, considering he didn't get any money for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, will you help me thank Mr. Benny, Mr. Jack Benny, for doing such a wonderful job.
It was a great pleasure being with you, you know. What was that joke about the Kansas Dust Bowl? Well, Frank, now that you're going out the coast, maybe you can now do a show. You can be a guest on my show now, you see.
Yeah, well, Jack, I really would like that, but the next time I'd like to get paid.
Well, why?
Well, I mean, I've been a guest on your show, and you were a guest on mine, and
yeah,
now
but
we're
even,
aren't we?
No, no, we're not even. You see, you do an hour show, and I only do a half-hour show, you see? So, I mean, you owe me some change.
Well, yes, that's, as a matter of fact, well, I'll talk to you about that when I get out on the coast.
When are you leaving for the coast?
Well, I'm leaving tonight, right after the show.
Oh, you're going tonight?
Mm-hmm,
so soon? It is a shame.
Why, Jack?
I wonder if Mel Torme is in town.
What?
I'm playing at another wedding tomorrow. Well, I'll get Robert Merrill. He'll be all
Robert
right.
Merrill.
Yes, he'll be all right. Thanks, Frank.
Good night, Jack.
It was wonderful being here.
He's just about the nicest person I've ever known in all of show business. He's a real wonderful guy. Ladies and gentlemen, next week we have, on our show from the coast, we have two wonderful people whom we used last year. And I'm deeply proud because I rooted so hard. We have the manager of the year, Mr. Leo DeRocher, and his lovely wife, Lorraine Day. So we have DeRocher and Day, and we may needle the Dodger fans a little bit. But we hope to have some fun, and in future weeks, we'll have a visit from Bob Hope and people like Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz and Dinah Shaw, possibly. We'll see you all very soon, so keep watching. And drop us a line if you'd like to hear any particular song. Good night and bless you.